Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. It's a Chevy Power Play. Now get over $8,600 total savings on a 2018 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab LT, plus an additional $2,500 in competitive owner cash. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and score. The suddenly smoking hot Cubs look to make it six straight wins tonight on NBC Sports Chicago. John Lester takes the bump for the Northsiders, while Thor gets the ball for the Metropolitans. Baseball Night in Chicago starts their coverage at 6:30. Then Len Casper, Jimmy DeShays have the call at 7 o'clock. It was the all-important next-to-last preseason game for the beloved Bears. Important to everyone except that guy, Matt Nagy, apparently. The new Bears head coach rests his starters instead of having them play for a half against the Chiefs. Is he onto something, a trendsetter? Or did he just put a target on himself to win week one at Lambeau? And welcome in to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Hope you had a great weekend, a good start to your week. I'm David Kaplan. Panel for today's show from 670, the Score of the Morning Show, the Mully and Haw Show, and he also contributes at the Chicago Tribune. He is our guy, David Holland, from SB Nation Radio. He's our friend, Jason Gotch. All right, we start with the beloved Bears. Our postcards from training camp, presented by Buffalo Wild Wings. There aren't too many postcards today. Matt Nagy said his starters didn't have to write any. Bears head coach gave his starters the entire day off Saturday in the next-to-last preseason game against the Kansas City Chiefs. Here's Nagy after the game explaining why he thinks his number ones didn't need the extra, particularly young quarterback Mitchell Trubisky.
We're at almost 2,000 snaps right now in practice. Right now, team snaps and OTAs, till now we're in 2,000 snaps. And so for somebody to tell me that 25 to 30 reps is going to go ahead and make him a better player week one, week two, week three, it's not going to happen. This offense does take time. It doesn't mean that for him he can't be successful, but 25 to 30 plays, regardless of just Mitch, in general, I think we've had a lot of reps, and we get quality reps in practice, and I think that's what's so neat. And it's just I understand. Let me make this clear. I understand how people can say that. I understand it. But for me, I need to do what's best for our team and for where we're at. Okay, and I understand that sometimes that can affect fans, but trust me, the thing I'm trying to do is do the best thing for our fans, and that's have our guys ready to go in week one.
All right, you and I talked over the weekend. Yeah. We all have paid attention to this. When I first heard it, I bristled. I went, whoa,
right.
What are you doing? And then I hear him explain it, and he's so refreshing from what we had here before.
And what did I tell you?
And
don't waver.
Right.
Go with your first instinct.
And so I understand where he's coming from. He better be right.
Well, you better be right, Cap, but I also think that we're talking about basically a philosophical divide here. You practice versus game action, and also, not every situation is the same. And I think if you're talking about the Packers, if you're talking about next year's Bears, perhaps, if you're talking about the LA, the Rams
the
this
Patriots.
Year, the Patriots, you can justify resting your starting quarterback. You can justify resting a playoff team, taking fewer chances. The Bears aren't that team. The Bears have a quarterback with 12 NFL starts who had 13 college starts, an offense that needs to get to know a new scheme, and a team that is 19-45 the last four seasons. We're not talking about a lot of winning tradition or culture here. You need repetition. How do you get better at playing football? Play more football.
Yeah, that's what Yurko said to me today on the radio. All right, did Matt Nagy make the right call in resting his starters? There's your question right there. NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. Jason.
David, you mentioned the Patriots. Each of the last two preseason games, Tom Brady has played a half. He's a Hall of Famer. He's over 40 years old. He's a multiple Super Bowl winner. No disrespect to Matt Nagy, but when I talk about preseason preparation, who do you trust? Bill Belichick playing a guy a half each of the last two games who doesn't need to play? Or you trust Matt Nagy? I'm sorry. You know what? You have to have those guys on the field
because they need game action. I'm going to play devil's advocate with you.
Sure.
Because it's Bill Belichick, does that automatically mean Matt Nagy should not do what he thinks is best
for
his football team?
That's fine. But I don't think there is a justification for what he did here. We hear so many times, and you guys have all watched a lot of practice, oh, these guys look great in practice going against their own team. In a game situation against a real opponent, not so good. So Mitchell Trubisky, who showed nothing last year that would make you think he's going to be a great quarterback, maybe he will be bad offense, bad weapons
around
him.
Yeah, I would beg to differ with your opinion.
But he needs to play in actual game situations with repetition.
So they show the snap in the end zone. That's great. That's great symmetry there.
By the way, did Matt Nagy make the right call? That Ankin Law poll question right there, 86%. Right now, 87% say yes, he did. So take that, Spygate.
Well, that surprised me as much as anything, the reaction to want to support. We're so hungry in this town to support somebody that's different, that's refreshing. And we love the way he explained it, right? We have to explain that. He did a great job explaining this. He wasn't defensive. He wasn't condescending. But you don't have to agree with him just because of that. I mean, he was considerate. But I know where you're getting at. You're like, okay, devil's advocate. This is a guy ahead of the curve here. This is a guy who wants to be different. But the Bears didn't hire Matt Nagy to change NFL policy. And the Bears have been through the experimental head coaching phase before. So I just think you go tried and true here. I think you're more likely to have success by trying things that have worked in the past. And typically that is getting your young quarterback as much work as possible. And you passed on an opportunity.
And a game situation is different than a practice. You have a clock. You have a real opponent. The referees are on the field. The fans are in the stands. It's a simulation of what you're going to see in the regular season, even if you're going against vanilla defenses. But I'm not saying you play them every snap of the preseason. Play him a half in the Chiefs game, you're fine. Let him sit the second half. He doesn't have to play against Buffalo. But he has not played enough where you want to see him only in practice, I believe. I think he needs reps in games.
And the 70-some percent that are saying he did the right thing are – people who I think are used to the sports culture, this increasing attention to injury. You know, we are scared of our own shadow. We're scared to put people out there because of the injuries we've seen in Chicago firsthand. Derrick Rose, you know, Jay Cutler during a playoff year. I mean, you go on and on about people who get injured when you least expect it. And it hurts team seasons. It can turn things around. You look around the NFL, Marquise Lee got hurt in the preseason. Josh Allen got taken off the other day. But, you know, football is a dangerous sport, and it's not everybody that gets hurt is going to end up with you have to take risks. It's part of the game, and you don't necessarily, if you play scared, I think you're going to get beat.
It'll be 3 weeks to the day almost, with a give or take a day maybe, that he saw live game action when he will duck under center at Lambeau Field on Sunday Night Football. But I would ask you this. What if Matt Nagy said to you, David, 25 or 30 plays, live action or not, it's not worth the risk of him getting hurt. That is our guy, and I'm comfortable where my football team is right now.
He knows his team better than I do. He knows his team better than anybody. I'm going to tell you that, look, you are, it's like anything about that you believe. I mean, it's a fundamental football belief. Either you think that game action makes you better than practice, or you don't. I'm of the belief that game action is better than practice. If he doesn't, then great. We're going to find out how much evidence he is created to back up his position. It's not, you know, combative. I appreciate that. It's not like defensive. That's great. But it's not clear-cut agreement because he's a football coach of the Bears. And you have to say, oh, okay, I never looked at it that way. This seems to me a bit of a reach.
And one thing, too, injuries happen and all. Injuries happen in practice. Deshaun Watson tore his ACL last year in practice.
Teddy Bridgewater.
I mean, this
Teddy Bridgewater wasn't even around anyone.
Exactly. So injuries can happen anywhere, and I think it is that fundamental disagreement. And we'll see if it works. We'll know the first couple of weeks if this was a good decision, but I think he's bucking the trend here, even if it did work for the Rams last year.
It's the bubble wrap culture.
Right, but if they lose to Green Bay, it does not mean that this was the right decision or the wrong decision.
They could have played four quarters of every preseason game in this
and
month, and they still would lose to Green Bay. I mean, it's likely to lose to Green Bay.
Correct.
It's a talent disparity. It's not a preparation disparity. But when you have such a talent disparity in your division with Green Bay, your rival, what do you want to do? You want to outwork everybody. You want to put yourself in the best possible position.
What if he says to you, David, we went an extra week. We've gone 2,000 snaps. We have outworked everybody.
I would go Allen Iverson on you. It's practice. It's practice. It's not the same as a game.
You can't hit the quarterback in practice. I mean,
who in that team wants to hurt Mitch Trubisky
thing.
When they're playing defense against him in practice? You know what would happen to the guy who hurts Mitch Trubisky at practice? They get cut the next day.
See you later.
And I just think that when you go against live competition, It's just different.
And it's a young guy, too. This is not a guy who's, this is not Aaron Rodgers, who sat for the first last week for the Packers against the Raiders. It's a guy who hasn't played a lot.
Not only that, it's the lead, probably the least experienced starting quarterback who isn't a rookie in the NFL, your guy. I mean, so Trubisky needs to work.
We'll see. All right, what a difference a waiver trade makes. Daniel Murphy joins the Cubs. He fixes the floundering offense. We might as well give him credit for fixing the rotation as well. So as the World Series train back on track on the north side of our city, Doug Glanville joins us next from Wrigley on Sports Talk Live.
Are you an authentic Cubs fan? We want to hear from you every authentic fan night. We designate one winner as the fan of the game, which includes tickets to the game, meet and greets, plus an authentic game day experience. Enter for your chance to win at NBCSportsChicago.com/CubsAF.
Oh, yeah, football's back. Time to draft your Yahoo Fantasy Football team. My draft's Wednesday. Sign up now and get your draft on at yahoo.com/fantasyfootball. Cubs and Mets tonight on NBC Sports Chicago. Baseball night in Chicago starts our coverage bottom of the hour, and Doug Glanville joins us from the Brick House to talk about the red-hot Chicago Cubs. Doug, let's talk about this surplus of talent they now have with Daniel Murphy firmly ensconced at second base. How do you get space for all these guys to play, knowing Chris Bryant may be back as quick as Wednesday?
I mean, look, this is a great problem to have, and it's amazing the impact of two players, Cole Hamels and Daniel Murphy. They make these moves and instant gratification. And you talk about the spark that Daniel Murphy's been. We look at how it's actually trickled down through the lineup and stabilized it. So, yes, you've created this sort of first world problem, so to speak, about all these great players that now can mix and match even more with depth to go with it. And so that's a good problem for the Cubs to have, and clearly the offense has responded.
What would you do if you looked at the lineup and you said, okay, Daniel Murphy is going to be at second, David Bodie. If Bryant comes back, does he move to the outfield so Bodie stays in the line? How do you juggle all this?
I think you have to give Chris Bryant some reps in the outfield. It's something that he absolutely is capable of done in the past. It's not saying that that's going to be his day-to-day role, but you want to create as many possibilities as possible. It's almost like you're setting up for the postseason where you do whatever you need to do to have the right matchups at the right time. And what's been great about this lineup now is it's created sort of an anchor. You see the top of the order in Murphy, Baez, and Rizzo. Rizzo ends up player of the week. And you recognize that now you have a little bit more clarity at the top. And once that trickles down, you have all these other weapons. And I mean, Chris Bryant coming back, even if he's three-quarters of what he's been, this is a tremendous asset. And now you just have an embarrassment of riches and just have a fight for the battle of the roster spots come postseason.
All right, what do you think of the six-man rotation? Joe said it might only be this one time through. Where are you on that?
Yeah, I think it's a good move when you think about how to sort of elongate and stretch out that rotation. I mean, Hamels has been so sure, and Lester's really been able to pick it up. Hendricks seems to have found something. So now you work on that back end of the rotation, and, you know, who's going to really rise above and be that, that continuity that they need? The good news is when you have your top three guys really getting into their best baseball, you start to look ahead and you see a very successful postseason run, much more achievable with that stability.
Hey, Doug, appreciate the knowledge, and I'll see you on the post-game show back here in the studio. Have a good broadcast.
All right, Cap, we'll see you then.
There you go. Doug Glanville, who is one of my partners on our pre- and post-game coverage, will be with us tonight along with David DeJesus. All right, six-man rotation, but Daniel Murphy coming here has been the shot in the arm this offense needed. 37 runs in five games.
He has done for the offense what Cole Hamels has done for the pitching staff. He stabilized it, and he's been a huge addition because of his experience. And I think when you look at that lineup, we've spent all year, actually since Joe Maddon arrived, what can he do? The mixing and matching, and he's done a great job. I think Madden's probably had as good of a year as a manager
as he has since he
came. But now I think you lock in a little bit, Cap. I think that when you look at when Chris Bryant returns, David Bodie's a great story, and he's a terrific individual, a guy you want on your team. But when you look at Bryant, Baez, Murphy, and Rizzo, that's a October infield. Hayward in center is elite defender. You got to have Zobrist in right field. And Kyle Schwarber, 4 home runs in 10 days. That is a World Series contending lineup. Before Daniel Murphy, the Cubs were division winners. Adding Daniel Murphy made them World Series contenders.
Last year, the Astros had Justin Verlander. They probably don't win the World Series without him. If the Cubs actually win the World Series, people are going to look back and say, I cannot believe the Washington Nationals gave away Daniel Murphy to the Cubs for basically nothing. And nobody else in the National League blocked him on waivers just to block him. The Cubs have needed a leadoff hitter since Dexter Fowler. I know they downplay that. They say it's not that important. But it has caused issues. They've had a leadoff Anthony Rizzo, Jason Hayward. They're trying all these crazy things. They get this guy. They were coming off 5 games where they scored a total of 5 runs, a solo home run in each game. Well, they have almost 40 runs in the 5 games since. He's a professional hitter. He's good in the clubhouse, and he can bat lead off.
Since Daniel Murphy came over, look at those numbers
Right
there. Baez, 409. Rizzo, 389. And on and on. All of them have picked it up big time.
Well, I'm sure there's some sort of technical explanation and some sort of analytic that supports all that. But I also think that it just lifts up everybody's performance. When you see a guy at the top of the order leading off, having those kind of at-bats, those professional at-bats, that approach at the plate, it is contagious. And then when he gets 2 hits a game, it's like everybody wants to match him. And I think you see the way that he approaches the pitcher. They're rolling right now. And that's why you never overreact and you do what you always preach. You relax when they go through slumps because this is a team that's really – You look at everything they've gone through and everyone who they've done it without, and you're like, wow, this is impressive where they are right now.
And to build on what you said, David, about Murphy setting the table, Joe Maddon said he wanted Baez to bat second to watch Daniel Murphy's approach at the plate because he is such a good, professional, consistent hitter. It's unbelievable. The Cubs, Cole Hamels and Daniel Murphy, where would they be without those guys? And you look at the rest of the National League, I'm confident in the Cubs. I'm not saying they're guaranteed to win the World Series or get there, but I think they're the best team. Who's the second best team? Does anybody
That's
have confidence in anybody else in the National League?
Maybe
other than the
Diamondbacks. Maybe.
Maybe the Cardinals.
I mean, maybe.
By the end of the month,
maybe
the Cardinals might be. Isn't it so much fun to watch when Daniel Murphy hits, like, after the shift and he places the ball and he goes the other way because he knows there's nobody there? He hits it where they ain't. You know, that's what
it's
they always say. And, you know, it's almost like by design. And how long can this go on? And then you look at the numbers, he's like, he's the second best hitter in baseball since the All-Star break. And the number one is like Jose Altuve.
We had Todd Hollinsworth on the other day on the radio, and he said, you're going to watch him play defense. You're going to be like, I don't know, not much range. It's frustrating. That ball shouldn't get through. He goes, and then he's going to go to the plate, and you're going to watch his head down as he makes contact. Oh, there's nobody there. I'm shooting it that way. I'm going to do this. I'm going to hit a home run. He said it's the most professional bats he's seen in years.
And it's not related, I understand, because the hitters are related to Daniel Murphy probably. But since he arrived, look at Hendricks. I mean, look at the last spin through the rotation. This is the rotation that's rising to the occasion again. And they go 6-man, that's great because they're rolling right now. And whatever Hendricks did mechanically, it worked.
So we actually ran some video. I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah, I did see it. It was really good.
With when his back leg was higher off the ground, he was a different guy. And he said, it sounds easy. Well, just lift your leg. He goes, trying to repeat your mechanics is not easy, but they worked and worked and worked. And since July 9th, his numbers are way better.
And look at Cole Hamels. He was on the score today talking about the mechanical change he made after coming from Texas. And everyone's like, this isn't the same guy that came from Texas. And it's not. And it just requires just a little bit of an adjustment. Veterans can make adjustments too. And he's been, his numbers, you look at his numbers since coming to the Cubs in his first 5 starts and compare them to what Verlander's were the first 5 starts last year for the Astros. They're almost identical.
Almost identical. It's incredible.
And when you talk about what the hitters are doing, it takes pressure off the pitchers. Because if you're confident in your lineup and you know you're going to get a bunch of runs each game, or most games you'll get that, it makes you as a pitcher go out there and have an approach
where
I can make a mistake
deal.
Here right. and there. You know what? My guys are going to pick me up. So, boy, everything's flowing well at the right time. Great
All
moves
right.
by Theo.
Michael Kopech's second start, just as good as his first start. It went a whole lot longer. Is he living up to the hype this early into his major league debut?
If you love baseball, you can't miss NBC Sports Chicago's newest show, Baseball Night in Chicago. Between Ozzie Guillen, Doug Glanville, Bill Melton, David DeJesus, there's never a dull moment. For complete listings and guest information, visit NBCSportsChicago.com/baseballnightinchicago.
All right, back with the great clip of the week presented by Great Clip. Zach LaVine got $78 million this summer, and he has one heck of a sense of humor as well. Bulls fan took to Twitter and asked a Baltimore seafood restaurant to open a place in Chicago. Jimmy's Famous Seafood said they'd open one if MJ came out of retirement. Fan said, how about Zach LaVine instead? To which Jimmy responded, how about you give us the $78 million you wasted on LaVine, and we give you free crab cakes for life. And then Zach LaVine showed up tweeting, I'm allergic to shellfish anyway. Jimmy's reply, and defense.
That's good.
Thought that was
well done.
Very good.
Good use of Twitter.
Yep. A lot of fun there. So everybody was cool. Nobody firing at each other. All right. Let's talk about Michael Kopech. He was really, really good. His first start, it was only two innings. The rain come. Sox made the right decision shutting him down. Yesterday, he was outstanding.
Two starts, eight innings cap. I think what he's done, he's sort of restored the faith in the rebuild. He has been that good. He's had command. He's had confidence. He's had composure. Star is born. You like everything you've seen out of this guy.
So far, so good. I would caution, though, the Tigers are bad. The Twins are bad. It was two innings against the Twins. So
Why you got to be a wet blanket?
Got to be honest. Got to tell the truth. Hey, he might be great. He might win 250 games. But it's a wait-and-see approach.
Who's worse, Kopech or Trubisky?
I'm saying is wait and see on both of them. You can't judge somebody this quickly.
I think you know more about Kopech actually right now. I think you know more about Kopech.
Probably more confident.
If you're predicting which one's has a better arc of their careers right now, who would you say? I'd say Kopech.
I'd go Michael Kopech.
I know you've only seen twice, but you've seen him do it at the minor league level. He just projects higher. I think you like more what you see so far. He's going to have a challenge to adjust. Once the league catches up with that fastball a little bit, once they are sitting on it, then how does he mix in his pitches? How does he become a pitcher more than just a thrower?
Boy, he throws hard. Yesterday he had bases loaded and a 3-0 count. I went, all right, here they go. And he found a way to wriggle off the hook. Give him credit. These are great learning lessons.
That was the best part about yesterday. He got out of a jam. He got out of two jams. And I think that he created them for himself. He hit a couple batters. But he still was, you know, he pitched. I know you're not impressed.
I'm impressed, but I can't judge somebody based on what, eight innings? I can't say, hey, you know what, everything's going to go right with the rebuild. We'll see. I hope
so. You want to wait till after the Packer game?
I actually agree that his upside with a natural talent. He is an unbelievable natural talent.
Why so and negative? I'm sure it's raining outside.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. I just got to put Mitchell Trubisky in the Hall of Fame.
Your tire's
already
probably flat. You're going to hit traffic.
Rodon, Kopech, Giolito, Ronaldo Lopez, and a fifth veteran to be named later. Your 2019.
Dylan Cease, kid.
Well, next year you're going to bring him up right away?
Maybe at some point.
Your 2019 rotation just got very, very interesting.
The White Sox. You got it. All right, boys, thank you for being here. That's a wrap for Sports Talk Live presented by the Chevy Silverado. Baseball night in Chicago is next. And it's the Cubs and the Mets at 7. Have a wonderful evening. I'll see you with Doug and David on the postgame show.